Let's get back into order out of chaos here. All right. Have you been blessed by this morning already? Man, I want to sing four or five more songs or see maybe another 100 more pictures of folks. That's awesome. Hey, we're part two. Don't worry, be happy. And so let's get into our study this morning. Luke chapter 12. Turn to Luke chapter 12. You know, it seems like when we talk about money, man, prices of everything is going up, and there isn't much of anything going down. As a matter of fact, finances, money problems, that's probably great stress for most people. And so it costs money to live. It takes money to buy food, takes money to pay bills, takes money to purchase anything. If you want to buy gas, you want to go somewhere to just enjoy life, it takes money. And you know what? Financial struggles can be stressful. There was an earthquake in a certain city, and one couple sent their boy to stay with an uncle in a neighboring town. And so they explained, because of the earthquake, I have my son stay with you. And so a day later, they received their son back with a note taped to his chest and said, here's your son back, send the earthquake. One father said to somebody, he said, my children are at their perfect age. They're too old to cry at night and not old enough to borrow the car. One husband said to the wife, said, you know, we've been married 5 years and we haven't agreed on anything. And she said, wrong again, we've been married 6 years. A marriage counselor said this to a couple. He said, when things go wrong, do you blame each other? Well, not always, said the wife. Sometimes we blame the children, sometimes we blame the president, and sometimes we just slam doors. So, needless to say, marriage and life can be stressful. Stressful at times. You name it, there's stress in nearly every area and aspect of our lives. From marriage, to family, to work, to children, to finances, to health, and so on. And if we're not stressed out about something, we're worrying about something, and that kind of goes hand in hand with stress. Somebody said this. They said, if you don't have a job, you worry about getting a job. If you have a job, you worry about losing your job. If you don't have a car, you worry about getting a car. If you do have a car, you worry about that car breaking down. If you don't have money, you worry about getting money. If you do have money, you worry about losing that money. If you have a good marriage, you worry about losing that marriage. If you don't have a marriage, you worry about getting married. If you don't have an education, you worry about getting an education. If you have an education, you worry about if that education is enough. And if you're healthy, then you worry about getting sick. And if you're sick, then you're worried about getting healthy. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. And we're just worry warts, you know? Why is it that we worry about stuff that God says, this stuff's always going to happen? And this is what I mean. We talk about like marriage, right? Paul says, and I use the NIV, 1 Corinthians 7:28, Paul says this, but those who marry will face many troubles in this life. If you get married, you're going to have trouble in your marriage. That's what Paul says. And I use the ESV because he explains what kind of troubles it's going to be. He says in that same verse in the ESV version, yet those who marry will have worldly troubles. Can I tell you something? You're never going to have a heavenly problem in your marriage. It's always going to be a worldly problem. Your marriages are falling apart because of worldly troubles. And that's the issue. And that's what he's talking about. Matter of fact, Job said in Job 14:1, man who is born of a woman, and that's just about everybody, is few of days and full of trouble. He said in chapter 5, verse 7, but man who is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Matter of fact, Jesus even said in John 16:33, Jesus said, I have said these things to you that in me, in Jesus, you're going to have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. In the world, you're going to have problems. You're going to have trials. You're going to have troubles, worldly troubles. In Jesus, you're going to have peace. And so, our society, man, everybody in society thinks that everything should go smoothly. I mean, they got this Mary Poppins type of attitude. We're supposed to be practically perfect in every way. And so, you know, oh, the medicine is terrible. Just add a teaspoon of sugar to it. It'll help the medicine go down. And so we live in this society where everything has to, we live in a free society. And what I mean by that is this. Everything has to be stress-free, anxiety-free. We don't want to deal with our emotions, so we want to be emotion-free. We want to have free education, free money, free this, free that, all this stuff. And the problem is that God says all those things are going to be here all the time. We miss the fact that we're going to have troubles in this life. It's not going to be perfect. Why are we striving to be perfect? Matter of fact, in all of Scripture, the most command is this: do not. Whether it's do not be afraid, whether it's do not fear, whether it's do not worry, do not. See, and this is the idea. I think Matt back in September, October talked about that. You know, be strong and courageous from Joshua. God had to tell him not to be afraid so many times. And Jesus does the same with us. He's trying to tell us, don't worry. Don't be stressed out. Don't get into all these things. See, the problem is that we are slaves to our fears. That's the idea. We're slaves to our fears. Listen to this. Get this. Fear dictates the decisions that we make and the things that we do. Fear dictates the decisions that we make and the things that we do. Listen, fear comes from not knowing and not being in control. And so we act upon it based on those things. If we just had a little faith like a child. You ever heard that? Jesus says, you know, no, let the children come, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You got to have the faith of a child. Well, what does that mean? Does your son or daughter ever worry about where her meal's going to come from? They get up, there's breakfast. Do they worry about lunch? Nope, always there. And even when they go someplace else, they know that lunch is always provided there. When they come home, dinner's always ready for them. They never worry. They just have faith that it's always going to be there. That's amazing. And God says we need to come and have faith like that. Do you know? I don't know if you know, but if you don't know, let me tell you. Do you know that this world has enough potential to supply enough food to feed the entire world? Do you know that? I said, well, what about famines? What about famines? Famines cause a lot of people not to have food. Well, I'm not talking about a specific famine in a specific area. What I'm talking about is the entire world has the capability to create enough food to feed the world. It has nothing to do with a famine. It's the potential is there. And so God has created boundless, I'm talking boundless supplies of food, and he provides for his faithful people. Listen, the psalmist said in Psalm 37:25, I've been young, now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his, God's, children begging for bread. Psalm 34:10, the young lions, they suffer want, they suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord, they lack no good thing. It's Isaiah 33:15-16. Isaiah writes, he who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, who despises the gain of oppressions, his bread will be given him. His water will be sure. God's going to take care of his own children. And so the idea is, why do we worry about life's necessities? See, worry is a failure to understand something about God. And that's what we talked about last week. Worry is a failure to understand God's priority. And that's this: you exist for a higher purpose. Worry is a failure to understand God's provision. If God created you, and he did, and if God has a purpose for you, and he does, then he's going to provide for you until your purpose is over. And so, let's get into the next couple. Look here at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Jesus speaking here, starting in verse 22. And he says this. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. We talked about this last week. Food and fashion, food and fashion. Our society has OD'd on food and fashion. Verse 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which they neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens and does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Mr. Kelly, would you open us up in a word of prayer, please? Amen. Thank you, Brother Richard. All right, so we talked about worry as a failure to understand something about God. Last week, we talked about, number one, worry is a failure to understand divine priority. God has a priority in your life. Second, if you exist for a purpose, then he's going to provide. So worry is a failure to understand God's provision. And so today, let's kick off with number three. Worry is a failure to understand divine privilege. Divine privilege. And so let's get that. Look at verse 25. Jesus says, "And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" All right, so what's a cubit? That's the first question. What is a cubit? Well, a cubit is about 18 inches. And basically, they measured that in the Old and New Testaments from the tip of the elbow to the tip of the finger. So that was about a cubit. And so we say salvation is, 18 inches between your head and your heart. It's a little, I don't know if you can get that in there, but whatever. So that's a cubit. And so that's what it is. And so here's the idea. So Jesus says, "And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature?" Now, I'm like 5'9", so I don't want to add 18 inches to my height. That makes me like 7'6 or something, 7'5". I don't want to be that tall. And so the idea here is, I don't think he's talking about height, as in adding 18 inches to your height. I believe it's a metaphor for the length of life. All right, so he's saying, who by worrying can add to your lifespan? And that's what he's saying. And matter of fact, it says this in the ESV, verse 25. "Which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his lifespan?" And that's the idea here. By worrying, how can you add to your life? We have these people that drink this green goop in the morning when they wake up, and they got this powder stuff, and I used to know these people, they were 67 years old. She ran 5Ks, and she was a marathon runner, and did triathlon stuff, was swimming, and he was a big old beer gut guy. He was like, "You got to drink this green stuff, and this green goop's going to make you live longer," and blah, blah, blah. You know what? Jesus says, by worrying, drinking this green goop and all this stuff, you're not going to be able to add one day to your life. That's the idea. Who has the privilege, and that's what number three is, divine privilege. Who has the privilege to determine how long you live? God does. God created you. We were talking about this morning in Sunday school, Psalm 139. God created you. He knows the ins and outs. Matter of fact, he told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, "Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you, had a plan for your life, I ordained you, I did all this stuff." God knows everything about us. He knows the beginning from the end. And so it's not up to us to determine our lifespan. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Job said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." People say, you got to do this, you got to do that. You got to drink this green goop, you got to get up, you got to exercise, hibbity-jibbity, you got to do all this stuff so you can live longer. And you can't add one day to your life. It's amazing. Our society is psycho-obsessive compulsive about lengthening their life. It's a mega billion-dollar industry. Man, all the supplements, all the food supplements, the vitamins, exercise, medications, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And you can't add one day to your life. That's amazing. And so Job said in Job chapter 14, verse 5, now get this, document this down. Since his days are determined, since man's days are determined, and the number of his months is with you, he's talking about God, with you, God, and you, God, have appointed his limits that he cannot pass. Do you understand? On God's calendar, there is a day, a time, an hour, a minute, and a second that you will not go past. Period. It doesn't matter if you drink green goop, if you power lift, it doesn't matter what you do in your life. You will not go past God's calendar and timeline for when he calls you home or comes to get you. Amen. You can do nothing about it. And so Psalm 90 verse 10, he says, these are the days of our lives. Some of you used to watch those soap operas back in the day. You used to be sick and stay at home and, Mom, can I watch? No, Days of Our Lives are on. Let's watch that. Yeah. These are the days of our 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they're 80, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. What do you get for more days the older you get? Nothing more but more hurt and more sorrow, and it even takes work to get out of bed. For it's soon cut off and we fly away. Excuse me, we ought to remember how long we have to live. Psalm 39 verse 4 says this, Lord, make me to know my end. We ought to be conscious that God has a calendar and a day which we're not going to pass. Make me know my end, Lord. What is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I truly am? See, the problem is that when people have afflictions and ailments and stuff, they're like, man, I'm not in control anymore. You've got to understand, folks, you were never in control to begin with. Amen. The sooner you get that to your head, the sooner it'll be a little easier on your worry and your stress. Because you're not in control to begin with. Now, this should take the worry out of it, because I don't want to be here any longer than God has a purpose and a plan for me. When his purpose and plan is done for me, I don't want to be here any longer than that. So I'm glad that it takes the worry out of it. When God is done with me, he's going to call me home or come and get me. Praise God. I don't have to worry. He's got a plan for me. That's his priority. He's going to provide for me all along the way. And when I'm done, he's going to come get me or call me home. That's awesome. I heard a man named George Hollinger. He had all kinds of health issues, and he was on dialysis, man. And he says, you know what? He says, I am a firm believer God is going to heal me. I won't be on this dialysis machine for long. God's going to heal me. I'm going to get the victory. He's going to get the glory. He says, if that doesn't happen, he says, then he's going to come to get me in the rapture. And if that happens, I get the victory, he gets the glory. And he goes, if not, and I die of this miserable junk, he said, I still got the victory, and he still gets the glory. Man, blessed be the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter what happens to us. Why are we worrying about all the junk in the middle? We got the victory, folks. So here's the idea. People are consumed with health. And listen, you should be. You should be. You should be concerned about what you eat. You should be concerned about your portion size. You should be eating healthy. You should be exercising. I mean, Paul told Timothy, a little exercise profiteth little. It does have profit, right, Matt? And so here's the idea. Listen, this is God's dwelling place. And this needs to be very healthy so you can serve God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you're not healthy, you're not going to have any strength to serve him with. Yes, we need to worry about health. Yes, we need to be conscious about what we eat and all that stuff. But don't make that the pursuit of your life. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't make that the pursuit of everything that you should have. And so that's important. Now, worry is a result of really two things. Ignorance or unbelief. It comes down to that. Worry is either a result of ignorance or unbelief. Let me explain what I'm saying. Now, I'm sure that there's people out there that don't worry because it's not that they don't believe what God has promised, but it's because they don't know what God has promised. And that's the idea. The greatest way that you can deceive yourself and the greatest way that we can deceive anybody is to teach some type of limited view of God. Some type of diminished or smaller view of who God really is. And so it's vitally important that everybody who teaches the Scriptures and everybody that possesses the Scriptures, me and you, so not just talking about me, but you as well, that we are to come to an understanding of God. Not just worshiping Him with our emotion and in spirit and the physical aspect, but to worship God in truth. And that's the big part. It's critical that we understand who God really is. Amen. For most people, they don't. And it's sad because it is possible. Listen, it is possible to worry your way through the Christian life because of your ignorance. And unfortunately, that's the testimony of many, 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 many people. Because they don't know the nature of God. They don't know the character of God. They don't know the promises of God, the purposes of God. They're cheated so often in their Christian life because they don't understand the greatness of God, the glory of God, the commitment of God, the compassion of God, the power of God, the omniscience of God, the wisdom of God, and all of that stuff that rests on the promises of God. There are many people, good Christian people, who have no idea what God is really like. And so they have no understanding of the level of commitment that they have, that God has to them. And they live in fear. Fear of circumstances, fear of, I don't know, fear of Satan, fear of failure, fear of whatever. You fill in the blank. What do you have fear of? And so worry does nothing to add to your lifespan. Matter of fact, it takes away. You know what worry does? All my nurses and practitioners and all those other fancy words for people that are in the medical field. Worry has effects. It affects your heart. It affects the circulatory system, the nervous system. It affects your glands. It affects your thyroid. Worrying affects all kinds of parts. Matter of fact, you probably go home a lot sooner than what God expected you to. You're not going to pass that date, but you could probably go a little sooner by not taking care of yourself, by worry, stress, all those things. Here's the point. We're not the determiners of our lifespan. That is a divine privilege. It's God's privilege to determine how long you're here. It's God's privilege to determine who you're born to, what area you're born to, how long you're going to live. It's God's privilege to do that. You didn't pick your parents. You didn't pick where you were born. You didn't pick how long you were here. You didn't pick none of that stuff. That's not by chance. It's God's divine privilege to choose when and where you're born. And how long you're here. That should take a little bit of the worry out of it. Job says you're not going to pass the date of what God has on his timeline. Look at verse 26. He says, if you're not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Listen, worry is a failure to understand God's privilege. Number four, worry is a failure to understand God's divine preference. God's divine preference. What does that mean? We live in a society that teaches evolution. We're the newest monkey or the last monkey or something. I don't know. You're a monkey's uncle. But here's the idea. They teach that we're all from the same thing. But that's not what creation shows. That's not what the universe shows. And that's not what anything else shows. Because here's the idea. God's creation shows a massive difference than his creation and man who is created in the image of his maker. Amen. And there's a big difference there. Look at verse 27 through 28. That's what Jesus said. That's what I'm talking about. He said, consider the lilies, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. He says, look at the lilies. Now, if you were to take a lily, like a little petal, or any wildflower, or any of those things, and you put that under a microscope, you'll see that texture is so smooth. You'll see that everything fits together perfectly. It's just a beautiful design. It shows God's beauty, God's creativeness, God's everything. Now you take something that man has made and you put that under a microscope. It's unrefined. It's rough. There's, you know, God's beauty is unmatched in his creation. We can't create stuff like that. I mean, we're creative. We have the creative ability. But that's what God has done. He says, look, don't worry about the clothing. He says, I tell you, even Solomon didn't have the type of stuff God clothed these petals with. And it's amazing because they're here today and gone tomorrow. How long do flowers last? Not that long. And matter of fact, he even says that the grass is here and gone. Well, back in the day, these people had to cook everything. They cooked breakfast, they cooked lunch, they cooked dinner. They had to make everything by scratch. And so they didn't have, you know, Kenmore ovens and all these different stuff. They couldn't just go and turn the dial up or hit the button. Hey, go preheat the oven to 375, would you? And so they had to have grass. That's how they had these clay ovens in there, and they threw grass in there. So if they wanted to regulate the temperature, they had to throw more grass in there. And so Jesus is picking up on the culture of the day, and he's saying, look, God makes this beautiful lily. It makes all this beautiful grass and all this wonderful stuff in one day, and sometimes it's gone. Because they got to pick the grass, and it dries out, and they throw it into the oven so that it, you know, can regulate the temperature so they can cook. And he's like, here is this flowers and here is this grass. In some ways, gives just this little brief testimony of the Creator God in one day, and then it's gone. And then he says, look at you. If God clothed the flowers and the grass and he took care of them in just a short amount of time, here today, gone tomorrow, how much more is he going to take care of you? You are the bride of his beloved son. God calls you sons and daughters by adoption. This is the issue, folks. Fear and worry, anxiety. It's a lack of faith. That's what he says. O ye of little faith. Oh, Lord, I just need a little more faith. I just need a little more faith. That's funny, C.H. Spurgeon, he prayed that God would give him more faith. It's like, Lord, I pray, give me more faith, give me more faith. And he prayed and prayed and prayed, and his faith never increased. But you know what happened? God answered his prayer, because he was doing his devotions in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And you know what it says? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can I tell you something? If you ain't in the Word of God daily, your faith is not going to increase. You are not going to have the faith to stand there and say, you know what? God's in control. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Nope, I don't have to worry about that. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because you won't know what God has to say. You won't know the promises of God. You won't know the commitment that God has had. You won't know any of those things. And so when you want your faith to increase and it doesn't, you have to understand faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you're not in God's Word, your faith will not increase. God says, if you do know my promise, if you know my power, if you know my knowledge, if you know what I am going to do for you, who I call my son, what is it that you don't trust about me? What is it that you don't trust? I don't know, here's a blasphemous thought. Maybe you think Satan's stronger than God. He goes on to say in verse 29, do not seek what you should eat, what you should drink, and don't have an anxious mind. Listen, we said this last week. The absolute best that the world has to offer is to help you manage stress. We'll help you manage anxiety. We'll help you manage worry. And Jesus says, don't do it at all. He told Joshua, don't fear, don't worry. He says, don't have an anxious mind. Don't fear, don't worry. God's saying, there's a way that you cannot do it. Don't do it at all. Not manage it. Don't do it. That's what he's saying. And so, don't make food and clothing, food and fashion. You're not a shark and a mannequin. We talked about that last time. Don't make food and fashion and worry the pursuit of your life. You exist for a higher purpose. And that's what he's saying. They had to find a way to get their food every day. Every day. And that was the preoccupation of their life. What am I going to have? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? And Jesus said, stop. God knows what you need. Just trust him. Matter of fact, you should work. You should. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if anyone is not willing to work, neither should he eat. Can I tell you something? We did a gentleman that had a sign up, we'll work for food. And we said, I have a project for you, and we'll be willing to feed you. Well, man, you get fat off the hog, man, of what we're going to feed you. And he said, no, just give me money. I said, sir, if you're not willing to work, then you shouldn't eat. There's a lot of problem like this in America. Amen. People are not willing to work, and they shouldn't eat. Now, I mean, Paul told Timothy, you know, he said the fathers that don't take care of their family, they don't want to work, and they don't want to do anything to take care of their kids. They said they're worse than an infidel. Look that up. What does that word mean? Listen, you got to have the desire. You got to work. But don't make food and clothing and all those things the pursuit of your life. There's a divine preference, and that's God's preference for you. Man, for some reason, God has chose to set his love on us. You know, even Satan in all of his glory, Ezekiel chapter 28, talks about he was full of wisdom, he was perfect in beauty. Every precious stone was his covering, the workmanship of his timbrels and pipes. He was the only angel that described had two offices, and here they are. He is the anointed cherub that covers. Perfect in your ways from the day you were created. Even the perfection and the beauty of Satan doesn't match man who was created in the image of God. We have God's divine preference on us. And so nowhere, not even Satan, angels, or animals are even called, like Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, we are God's beautiful poem. Man is God's beautiful poem. No other creation is like that. We bear God's divine preference. I mean, who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to even know my name? What a mighty God we serve. Listen, there are only two realms in which you can worry. You can worry in the spiritual realm, or you can worry in the worldly realm. You can worry about what is material or what is immaterial. You can worry about what is earthly or what is heavenly. And so if you're a child of God, and Jesus says, if you are a child of the one true King, then that King is going to take care of every need that you have until your purpose for his kingdom is done here on this earth. So the question is this: what are you worried about? This life or the one to come? Let's pray. Father, thank you for our day. Thank you for our time. Lord, thank you for the music, and thank you for your word, and just so encouraging and so inspiring that we should just live lives of hope and peace and joy. And so much. And so, Lord, so many people don't. They don't have that peace and joy. And so, Lord, we just give you this invitation to have your way. Let your church come and just give their cares to you. We know that you care for us. And, Lord, if there's someone here that has never placed their faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross, let today be the day of salvation. That'll be the greatest decision they ever make, knowing that they'll have peace with God and hope of eternal life. And so, God, we just give you this invitation. We just say that you'd have your way. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.